Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify. Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
I'm going to start by saying I'm not big into conspiracies. While I know there's a lot of secrecy and sketchy goings on out there, I've always held the belief that most things should be taken at face value, and not everything is as shady as some people tend to believe. However, what happened to me 3 months ago has never been discussed since, on any news reports, police files, or even gossip around town. It's as if everyone decided what happened didn't. But it did. My name is Travis. I'm 19, and I live in a small town about 20 miles north of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have a smaller population of around 3,000, which is big enough that not everyone knows everyone, but if you tip back too many bottles of moonshine and ride your prize cow into town to declare your love relationship with Twinkies, the entire city will be gossiping by morning. Most people in town take the 20-mile trek south for work in the big city, but not me. I've worked on my family's wheat farm since I was little, and it's the only job I've ever known. I know my father's plan is for me to take over operations of the farm when he retires and support him through his final days. This may be selfish, but at the age of 16, I knew this wasn't for me. It's the same repetitive day-to-day work. The only freedom I receive from this monotony is when I have to transport harvested grain to any of the nearby cities. I will admit, I'm never in a hurry to come back, and tend to get lost in the big cities, causing me to come back home late. When I saw what else there was besides my dreary life back home, I wanted to do everything I could to move to the big city life and live how I wanted. Little did I know, my motivation to do this would skyrocket in one night. I had finished my work early for the day, because my friend Mason and I were planning to head to the plains outside of town and test out his new rifle. Sounds very hillbilly, I know, but in a town like this, we have very little as far as entertainment. Mason had been my best friend and neighbor my entire life. Well, neighbors here being about a half mile apart. We were even born a week apart and always held a strong kinship like brothers. We did everything together. To cap off my day, I always logged the amount of grain harvested that day and placed in the silos at the other end of the farm. Most people don't realize there's actually a lot of paperwork involved in farming wheat. Whilst deep in said paperwork, I began hearing a very low-tone rumble in the distance. This was not concerning at first, since another popular form of entertainment with the younger folk is riding dirt bikes. I shrugged it off and hastily continued my work to leave before it got too dark, but dusk was ending fast. As I threw down my initial to finalize the last of the forms, I was able to lift my head out of work. The rumbling sound continued, and was louder than before. At this point, I knew this was not the sound of dirt bikes. It was a strange, almost screechy noise coming from outside. I threw on a sweatshirt and walked outside while trying to identify the noise I was hearing. As I walked outside, I felt a sort of charge is the best way I can explain it. My arm hair stood on end as a very light wave of what felt like static electricity wafted through me. It wasn't painful at all, but noticeable. The screeching continued, and it was only when I walked outside I realized it wasn't coming from north, south, east, or west. It was coming from the black, empty void the night sky had become once the sun set. At this point, the screeching almost had the inflection of howling, as it would kick up and die down within a matter of seconds. The closest I can compare this sound to is when someone drags a chair across a hardwood floor, except amplified hundreds of times over. Was this an echo from the factory at the edge of town? Did one of the neighboring farms purchase a new machine that was malfunctioning? I knew none of this could be right, because the sounds were coming from directly above me. We had no mountains to echo sound, and were surrounded by nothing but horizon, yet it reverberated everywhere around me. At this point, I wasn't the only one to notice, much to my relief. I could see porch lights coming on in the distance from my neighbors across the way, and watched as they slowly came out of their houses to figure out the same mystery I was perplexed by. A few seconds later, I heard my back screen door open behind me. My parents had been awakened by the sound and came to investigate as well. "What the hell is that sound?" my dad said in his traditional Midwest accent. "I don't know, Dad, but it started up about a minute ago. I thought it was the Thompsons playing around on their bikes again, but it's coming from the sky," I replied. "Damn idiots crop dusting this time of night. I'm sure to bring this up at the next town meeting," he snapped back, clearly frustrated by a sudden awakened state. "That ain't no crop duster, Henry," my mom chimed in. "It sounds like one of those underwater documentaries I like where whales talk to each other. Except, this doesn't sound right." It was at that point my dad fell quiet and stared at the ground. I couldn't tell if he was really just trying to figure out what was happening, or if he was simply irritated by mom's description of sky whales. "Do you think we should call someone?" I said, breaking the awkwardness as the screeching in the sky continued. My mom looked at my dad for his response. Nothing. He continued to stare at the same spot on the ground. His face was emotionless. I began to realize something wasn't right. I approached my dad and grabbed his shoulder. Dad? Are you okay?" I asked, with one eyebrow raised. As soon as he felt my hand on his shoulder, he jerked his shoulder away and began yelling. No words, just yelling, as if he was terrified beyond reason. His eyes were wider than I'd ever seen them as he fell to the ground, with his hands straining in front of his face. He was straining so hard, every vein in his hands, arms, and neck were popping out. I leapt to him to try and hold him and calm him down. "Dad? Dad, what's going on? What's happening?" I yelled frantically. I looked back at Mom, who was in a state of shock, watching this situation unfold, holding her hand over her mouth. His screaming continued as he took one swipe towards the ground, digging all five of his fingers into the dirt, almost as if he was trying hard to get himself back up. "Mom, call an ambulance," I yelled while restraining my dad. Without a word, my mom ran into the house, eyes still wide open. My dad had made it to his knees, still screaming in terror as the sky above continued its bellow. His hands still stretched in front of him, strained as if he couldn't possibly close them. His wide, open eyes slowly moved towards mine. He stared at me, mouth wide open, as if he was screaming without making noise. His eyes had turned blood red at this point. That's when I witnessed my father begin tearing at the flesh of his own face. I tried to stop him, but being twice my size, I've never been able to come even close to out-muscling him. Gushes of blood poured down his neck as he continued tearing at his own face. He dug so deep, I could see muscle and cheekbone. I'll never forget how he continued to stare at me as he tore apart his own face. I didn't know what to do. I ran into my mom, who was on the phone. "It's a busy signal! It's a busy signal!" she yelled in frustration. "Mom, Daddy's going insane or something. He's scratching at his own face and I don't know what to do," I frantically shouted. We both ran outside to see my father laying face first in the dirt. His screaming had stopped. He was still breathing heavily, but seemed to be unconscious. My mom and I looked at each other in disbelief. I walked over slowly. I decided I needed to get him into the house and tie him down before he woke back up. Hopefully by then, we could get an ambulance here to help. But the damage was done. I grabbed his arm to turn him over. That's when he leapt at me, knocking me on my back. He climbed on top of me and began screaming uncontrollably again, with blood and flesh dripping on my face. I began screaming as well. Out of desperation, my mom grabbed a brick from the unfinished patio my dad was building. She hit him in the back of the head as hard as she could. My dad fell on top of me, unconscious. The sky continued its screeching. I pushed my dad off of me and looked up at my mom, who was in a state of shock at what she had just witnessed. She fell on her butt without changing her expression. "Mom, we have to get to Mason's house and get help," I said, trembling. She didn't move. I knew I had to take control, despite my extreme terror I was feeling inside. I picked my mom up off the ground, and we started our walk to my friend's house. The shrieking sky continued as we slowly walked. The sound faded in and out. As soon as I thought the sound might have ended after the last wave, it continued again. My mom didn't say a word the entire walk. It was then that I noticed the static feeling had not gone away. My hair was still on end. We finally arrived at Mason's house. My tunnel vision had lightened up during the walk due to the fright of what happened. I pounded on the door, yelling Mason's name. No answer. It was then that I looked across the street and saw his closest neighbor in the window of his house. He was writing on his window with a marker. Eyes wide open, like my dad. Except, he wasn't tearing himself apart. He was calmly writing, and writing, and writing. I looked a little closer at what he could possibly be writing on his window. It was gibberish. Non-discernible words. As I looked closer, I noticed the same writings were on the walls in the room he was in. He had been at this for several minutes. What was happening? Is everyone going insane? Is this roar from the sky turning everyone into a mental case? I began knocking harder. Mason finally answered. He grabbed me immediately and hugged me. "Travis, please help me," he said with his face buried in my shoulder. "What's happening?" I replied, not ready to admit I came for his help too. "My mom has stuffed herself in the linen closet and is rocking back and forth, talking to herself. She seems completely gone. I don't know what to do." He timidly answered with tears in his eyes. His father died when he was 3 years old in a motorcycle accident, so he had been the man of the house his whole life. Right now, though, he was at a loss as to what to do for his mother. He led us to the closet, which was closed. My mom started to come out of a catatonic state and realized what was happening. I knocked on the door. No answer, just a low voice. She was talking to herself. "Miss Danvers, it's Travis and Mason. Can we help?" I asked as nicely and politely as I could. She continued talking, but not to us. I put my ear to the door I could hear what she was saying. "Why did you buy that death trap? Why did you leave me? I don't deserve this. You're selfish. You left me. You left me. It's your fault. You left me. Why did you buy that death trap?" she continued. "I think she's talking about your dad," I said to Mason as he stared at the door. I continued. "It's like she's gone into some kind of psychosis." I tried to open the door, but Mason stopped me. "No, I tried to get her out of there. Every time I opened it, she screamed. Really loud," he snapped as he grabbed my wrist. A loud bang erupted from outside before he could finish his sentence. We looked at each other and ran outside to see what happened. A car had slammed into the front yard tree. "Oh my God," Mason yelled as we ran to the car to help. My mom stayed behind, continuing to try and break through to Mason's mom. We ran to the car to try and help whoever was in the accident. Before we got there, a man kicked his car door open and began firing a shotgun into the air and yelling, "Get away from me! I don't know who you are!" he yelled, firing into the air in all directions frantically. The noise in the sky seemed louder than ever. Mason and I ran back into the house, locking the door behind us. That's when the man noticed we were there. He ran up to the door, trying to get in, slamming his shoulder into the door. I was able to deadbolt the door in time and ran to my mom. A blast came through the door. He shot the damn doorknob. He continued with two more shots, creating a large hole in the door. The shooting stopped. I could hear him reloading the shells. After a few seconds, he began kicking in the rest of the fragile door to make room to enter. I began grabbing my mom to take her out the back door when I saw Mason walking down the hallway from his bedroom. I didn't notice that he had left. At this point, the man was halfway through the door with his shotgun pointed right at us. Boom! I closed my eyes tight, covering my mom. All I could hear now was a terrible screech from the black sky outside. Other than that, it was eerily quiet. I opened my eyes. Mason was standing beside me with his new rifle aimed at the front door. I nervously looked towards the door. The man with the shotgun was hanging through the door, with blood dripping from his neck. Mason got to test his new rifle after all. He slowly lowered the gun and appeared to be in complete shock. "He was going to kill all of us, Mason," I said, attempting to console him on what he just did. He didn't respond to my statement. He simply said, "We have to get out of here," in an almost whispered tone. I nodded as I grabbed my mom's hand to lead us out. "Let's get back home and grab the car keys. They're on the kitchen counter," my mom yelled as we exited the back door. Right now, I was just glad to hear my mom speak. We ran back to the house as quickly as possible. The sky seemed even darker than ever, with the roaring of the sky continuing. Mason and Mom waited by the car while I ran in to get the keys. They were right where she said. I grabbed them and began to head back outside. I heard a pounding on the window behind me. It startled me as I turned around quickly. My dad was in the window. He had torn up more of his face. I could see the roots of his teeth through his lips. I gasped and stumbled back. I ran outside to the driveway. "Get in! Get in!" I yelled as I unlocked the door. They did what I asked and rushed into the now unlocked car, not knowing where my new panic state came from. They realized why quickly. I heard my mom scream loudly from the back seat. I looked up. My father was coming after us, dripping in blood, with chunks of flesh falling to the ground. I turned on the car and looked backwards to back out. The car wasn't moving. I yelled in frustration as my father hurled himself against the car window. Both Mason and my mom screamed this time. "Damn it!" I yelled as I realized I'd put the car in neutral. I slammed the gear stick into reverse and began backing up with tires squealing. The sound from the sky actually masked the squealing of the tires as it continued its echoing roar. My dad tried to hang onto the car, but fell to the ground as we backed out of the driveway. He continued tearing at himself as we drove off in the direction of the big city. It was very soon after we started driving that we realized the gravity of what was happening. Entering the more residential part of town, we had to swerve over and over to avoid people who were wandering the streets. Many seemed lost. Some were yelling at nothing in particular. We passed by a naked woman in the street who was spinning in circles, looking up to the noisy sky. Admittedly, there were several people who didn't seem affected by whatever this was. They were running around, yelling for help. We could not stop to help them. We had to keep moving. No one in the car argued with that. As we approached the city limits, a man darted out into the road, arms stretched on either side, yelling for help. He slammed his hands on the hood as I screeched to a halt. He was terrified. As he started to walk around to my side of the car, a dark figure came out of nowhere and tackled him to the ground. I leaned forward, looking out of the window. The shadowy figure repeatedly stabbed the frightened man in the neck. I still remember the gurgling sounds to this day. "What the hell?" I screamed involuntarily as I screeched off. I heard a clunk from under the car. I looked back in the rearview mirror, and with the haze of red from my taillights, I could see I smashed one of the psychotic man's legs. He continued stabbing away as if nothing happened. "Damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it," I continued, not realizing I was even speaking. My eyesight had been completely tunnel vision out of fright at this point, making it difficult to focus on the road. As we began cruising, things started to calm down. No one was talking though. The sound, that sound from the sky, was beginning to fade away. I felt a sense of relief as the tingly static feeling began to fade away almost simultaneously. Mason let out a sigh of relief. Nobody spoke until we got to town. The city was peaceful. People were walking along the sidewalk without a care, dining in restaurants, walking their dogs, hanging outside the bar. Nothing had happened here. "Should we go to the police?" Mason said, breaking the silence. "They have to be aware of what's going on," I replied quickly but unsure. "No, stop at the closest motel," Mom yelled from the back seat. "We have the gun. If whatever happened back there reaches here, we need to be bunkered down and ready for it, not surrounded by people." I couldn't come up with the mental fortitude to argue her point. I stopped in the closest motel. It was dingy, but from where I come from, I wasn't bothered. Mom hurried to speak to the desk clerk and paid for a room. For safety, she made sure we were on the second floor. None of us slept. We turned the TV on to try to get any information we could about what was going on. To our shock, nothing. No breaking news reports, no emergency broadcast system, not even a mention of the screaming sky. How was this not being acknowledged? Morning broke as the longest night of my life ended. The city was still normal. After a few minutes of the three of us deliberating on whether or not to head back to town, we agreed to at least stay one more night and head back in the morning. That day, there was very little words said. We barely ate. I tried to call home around noon. No answer. Mason tried to call his mom's cell phone. No answer. Another sleepless night came and went. When morning hit, we jumped in the car and took off for home. Conversation in the car was a lot more heavy this time. We went back and forth, trying to wrap our heads around what happened. What was that sound in the sky? Why was everyone going mad? Why is there no mention of this in the neighboring cities? As we arrived in the suburban area, we noticed a serene ambience. Birds were chirping, dogs barked in the distance, and no sound was coming from the sky. It was eerily quiet. As we drove, a younger woman walked out of a house in a jogging outfit and headphones. She began running in place as she locked the door, turned and began jogging. This was the same street I witnessed a violent murder, and she was just going for a jog. As we continued, people were going about their business, much like in the big city, buying groceries, hanging out at the coffee shop, and smiling as if life was great. A chill ran up my spine as we pulled into our neighborhood. A fright came over me as I heard a roaring in the distance. This time, it was definitely the dirt bikes. We pulled into our driveway slowly. As we got out, we surveyed the area. No blood, no body. My dad was gone. We searched the entire house with no evidence anything had happened. We walked over to Mason's house. The front door was fixed. That or replaced, I don't know. We entered the house and a smell of bacon emanated from the kitchen. "Where the hell have you boys been?" Mason's mom yelled as she flipped a pancake on the stove. "Mom, are you okay? What happened?" Mason replied sheepishly. "I'm just mad you didn't come home last night. If you were going to stay at Travis's, you can at least let me know," she retorted in a stern voice. My mom and I left back to our house. I looked across the street at Mason's neighbor. No writing. It was in permanent marker, yet there was no sign of writing. Not even faded markings. We got home and phoned the police. When they arrived, we told them the whole story. They acted as if we were crazy, even going as far as blaming it on a localized hysteria between the three of us. I knew what happened, and it was real. The only thing we could do was report my father missing. Since then, there has been no trace of him. I moved out 3 weeks later. Mason and I were able to get a job in the city working a warehouse. Not much better than wheat farming, but it's paying for our place. We are currently roommating, and we barely bring up what happened 3 months ago. My mom decided to stay, and with the savings she had, hired farmhands to help out. She decided to start her retirement early. It will take me a long time to come to terms with what happened. The loss of my father will forever haunt me. The sights I saw are still in my dreams. Sometimes, I swear, I hear the sound the sky made that night start in the distance. I get a flash of terror, followed by relief when I realize it's not happening again. But what did happen? Nobody in the small town has said anything about what had happened. Nobody in the city has ever mentioned anything either. But all three of us remember it vividly. How could my father just disappear like that? Was this some government test that went wrong? Dare I say, could it be aliens? Or could this be a natural phenomena that's never been recorded? No matter how much I try to piece what happened together, nothing makes sense. Why was the sky screaming that night?